A new search for a new EAA president is officially underway. Vern Rayburn predicts he won't be the last to resign from the EAA board. And the Aviation Hall of Fame cuts its paid staff. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. It's Veterans Day in the U.S. Thanks to all of you for the chance to decide for ourselves what kind of life we'll lead. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 11th, 2009. Korn Ferry International, which has assisted the Experimental Aircraft Association in its previous search for a new president, has now been officially engaged to conduct a new search. Senior partners Clark Havener and Lorraine Lavitt are reportedly overseeing the search for a successor to Tom Poberesny. Dr. Boyd Falconer, a member of the firm's Global Aviation and Aerospace Group, commented, quote, "The EAA is an exemplary aviation organization and one that has been part of aviation's pioneering fabric for decades. It is a genuine thrill for our team to lead this critical engagement for EAA, especially for those of us with aviation fuel in our veins," unquote. If you'd like to declare your availability for what lately has been a roughly $500,000 a year gig, you're invited to contact Mr. Havener in Korn Ferry's Washington, D.C. office, Ms. Lavitt in the Virginia office, or Dr. Falconer in the Chicago office. High-tech and aerospace executive and 17-year EAA director Vern Rayburn's letter to the EAA board, explaining the reasons for his resignation, accuses Tom Poberesny of sabotaging the previous search effort, which reportedly resulted in a majority of EAA's executive committee voting to make Gamma President Pete Bunce the next EAA president. Quote, "After committing to support the XCOM choice, Tom reneged on that commitment. Not only did he renege, but he recruited minority members of the XCOM to work diligently with him to overturn the recommendation made by a majority of XCOM members. Numerous reasons, such as the process was flawed to the candidate was not one of us, were stated for the abrupt reversal," unquote. Rayburn predicts that more resignations are imminent. Stay tuned. The Aviation Hall of Fame in Dayton, Ohio, announced late last week that Executive Director Ron Kaplan has been let go as a cost-saving measure due to declining memberships and commercial sponsorships. A second full-time employee was also released, and the two remaining paid staffers have had their hours reduced. Robbie Robinson, chair of the organization's Board of Trustees, said the move had nothing to do with performance. The Dayton Daily News reports that Kaplan had been with the Hall of Fame for 11 years and had served as executive director since 2005. The paper reports that commercial sponsorships for 2009 are about half what they had been last year. The organization's annual budget is about $800,000. The Hall of Fame was chartered by Congress in 1964, but receives no federal funding. Kaplan told the paper he was stunned, quote, "I truly fear for the future of the organization," unquote. Robinson says volunteers will administer the organization going forward, as he says was envisioned when it was created in 1962. Up next on ANN, Missoula International gets a new control tower. Teterboro Airport says we need one too. And a pilot who had to bring down a King Air off airport is upgraded to serious condition. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 11th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has awarded $6.77 million to Missoula International Airport for construction of a new tower, which will replace the 60s vintage facility currently in use. Airport Director Chris Jensen said the 60-foot-tall tower is the oldest in Montana and perhaps the oldest in the region. He told the Helena Independent Record that Billings, Helena, Bozeman, and Kalispell have all built new towers over the past few years. Design has begun on the new structure, which will be twice as tall as the existing one. The paper reports that the design will have to be reviewed for any environmental impact. Jensen comments, quote, "The tower is within our land perimeter. No bright colors, no reflective surfaces. We'll do everything we can to minimize any obstruction to the view. It will be well below the horizon line," unquote. Jensen said between the tower construction and the work planned for resurfacing and redesign of runways and taxiways, the airport will contribute over $13 million to the local economy next year. National Air Transportation Association President James Coyne joined with 10 other members of the Teterboro Airport Industry Working Group last week to ask FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt to increase the priority on construction of a new air traffic control tower at Teterboro Airport. The current tower was constructed in the early 70s as a temporary facility and does not provide controllers with an unobstructed view of vital areas of the field. Coyne commented, quote, "Teterboro Airport is the nation's busiest general aviation airport, and Teterboro controllers need a new tower to continue to control the flow of air traffic safely," unquote. The letter to Babbitt points out that in recent years, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey has invested nearly $100 million in a variety of safety improvement projects at Teterboro, including new taxiways, lighting improvements, and an engineered material arresting system. But despite repeated requests, an adequate tower remains a low priority. NATA Monday unveiled the first video in what it says will be an ongoing series featuring President James Coyne. Called Coyne's Video Briefings, they'll be released every few weeks and will focus on hot topics and important current events affecting the association's membership and the general aviation industry at large. NATA serves aviation-related service industries, including FBOs. The first briefing was titled Fiscal Crisis and focuses on the current economic climate facing the general aviation industry and contains a brief cameo appearance by U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Of the videos, Coyne commented, quote, "I will be able to provide some candid perspective as to how these issues impact the bottom line of aviation businesses and what actions our members can take to ensure that their companies are protected from new taxes and unnecessary regulations," unquote. The videos are part of a recent move into new media for the organization. Coyne notes, quote, "We believe that these new video briefings will complement our efforts in creating the NATA President's Capitol View blog and the Inside Washington blog, along with joining Twitter, Facebook, and other social media networks," unquote. A pilot from Virginia Beach is being hailed for his skill in the emergency landing of a King Air near Greenville-Spartanburg Airport in South Carolina on Monday. Witnesses say the aircraft skipped over a highway and came to stop on a hill just shy of the runway threshold. Pilot Matt O'McDonald and his passengers, two employees of Stevens Aviation, which is based at GSP, were injured but all survived. McDonald remained in serious condition as of last night. WSPA TV reports that the airplane had been brought to Stevens Aviation with a possible avionics problem, but there was no indication the plane was mechanically unsafe. The NTSB is reportedly looking into possible fuel exhaustion. McDonald reportedly avoided cars on Highway 14 in making the landing. Still ahead, ground has been broken for the Flight 93 memorial. U.S. companies are being sued in connection with Air France Flight 447. And when was the last time you flew coast to coast and actually enjoyed the scenery? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 11th. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar joined Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, Senator Bob Casey, and the families of the Flight 93 heroes on Saturday to break ground on the Flight 93 National Memorial, honoring the passengers who thwarted an apparent attempt by terrorists to use a fourth airliner to attack a target in Washington, D.C. during the September 11th attacks. Salazar told the assembled crowd, quote, "On behalf of a grateful nation, we say to the men and women of Flight 93, we will never forget you. This national memorial will always stand to honor you and to remind future generations that you fought and were victorious over the forces of evil," unquote. A total of 40 people, representing the 40 Flight 93 heroes, took part in the ceremony, including four young relatives who turned the first shovels of dirt, symbolically signifying the start of a new planning and construction phase for the National Memorial. Salazar also recognized the community of Shanksville, which has welcomed countless visitors to the site. Relatives of eight of the victims aboard Air France Flight 447, which went down in the Atlantic Ocean on a flight from Rio to Paris in May, have filed lawsuits against several U.S. companies that provided products or components for the aircraft. Named in the suits filed in Illinois and California are Intel, General Electric, and Motorola, according to a story in Australia's Sydney Morning Herald. The amount of damages sought from each company was not specified. The paper reports that the suit filed in Illinois claims negligence on the part of the companies that made some of the avionics for the A330. While no cause has been determined for the accident, there has been some focus on icing over the static ports that could affect the airspeed indicators aboard the plane. Unite, the British union representing cabin crews at British Airways, says 14,000 workers will cast votes on the question of whether to strike the carrier beginning this coming Monday and running through December 14th. The choice of Monday for the start of the vote is timed to coincide with the first day of what the union says are forced unilateral changes in terms of employment with cabin crews. Unite says BA's imposition of fundamental changes to working practices, work organization, and terms and conditions of employment left it no other option but to take the vote. The union's public statements have suggested to the public that safety will be compromised by fewer cabin crew members trying to do more, all for lower pay. Unite says the company rejected the union's offer earlier this year to accept pay cuts to avoid thinning the staffs. And finally today, much of our focus in aviation is on higher and faster. That's fine if you just need to get somewhere, but what if your whole point is to enjoy the journey? It's no secret that many airline pilots enjoy their time off from their automated buses in the sky by flying little tail draggers or even gyroplanes to get in some low and slow stick and rudder time on the weekend. Even Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Scott Carson, who's retiring at the end of this year, recently bought a Cub. But what about passengers? It's great to jet from A to B, but what if you feel there's more to air travel than looking down at the tops of clouds? Well, Igor Pasternak has heard your cries. Pasternak is the founder of Worldwide Aeros, which so far has built more than 35 different lighter-than-air craft for sale and operation in 10 countries on four continents. Now, according to a report in the Los Angeles Times, the Russian immigrant is working on an enormous airship the length of two football fields that would combine lighter-than-air technologies with the capabilities of airplanes and travel from Los Angeles to New York at speeds of up to 174 miles an hour, while never exceeding 8,000 feet. So passengers would have a clear view of the land, low and slow, at least compared to common airliners. Pasternak left the Soviet Union when it collapsed in 1993. And this year, California-based Worldwide Aeros expects to tally sales of $10 million. Pasternak says that when he first arrived in the States, he didn't speak any English. His breakthrough came by watching Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, which he said were easier to understand. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll get details on that cool new piston twin from Technam that uses a pair of Rotax 912s from Dave Labor, VP of Flight Training Services for Technam North America. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.